Good morning. It's the Energy is Love podcast. I say good morning because right now it's 5 o'clock. I don't know what time it is. This morning, today, was one of those days where I couldn't sleep. I woke up way earlier than I ever really intend to, and my brain just kept going. You know those mornings where you get up and you're not awake and your body's not awake, but your brain is on fire? That was this morning. But it's all good. I'm excited. I'm excited for this episode. I'm excited for some episodes that I've already recorded that will be coming out soon. I'm always excited about the podcast. This episode is 104, and it dawned on me. I realized later in the month of May, we'll be coming up on the 2-year anniversary of the podcast. And now you have 104 episodes of the podcast. So technically, if this is the first episode of the podcast that you're listening to and you just barely found the podcast and now you're going to listen to it, thank you, by the way. You can go back and listen to one episode of the Energy is Love podcast every week for the next 2 years. That's amazing. That blows my mind. I love it. This episode is brought to you by the Refinery Barbershop. Refinery Barbershop is a huge supporter of the podcast. Great sponsor. They are located in Springville, Utah. For those of you that don't live in Utah, that sucks for you because it's a great state. But go to the Refinery Barbershop on Facebook or refinerybarbershop.com. But if you need a haircut, if you need your beard trimmed, if you need that really nice hot like towel shave, straight razor, straight up, old school deal, the Refinery Barbershop's the place. It's a cool little spot. It's located inside of the Legends Motorcycle Shop. So if you like motorcycles, it's also awesome. It's the only place that I ever get my beard trimmed besides my bathroom by my unsteady hand. And when the day finally comes that I'm going to cut my hair, because I'm sure at some point down the road that will happen, I'm most definitely going to go sit inside the Refinery Barbershop and let Steven do his thing because he's an incredible barber. Great place. Go check him out. When you go in there and get your beard trimmed or you get your hair cut, let them know you heard about him on the Energy is Love podcast. So for episode 104, we've got William Carter. Will's a good friend of mine. He's been on the podcast before. So if you're a listener of the podcast, you've heard Will a couple of times. Honestly, I love the man. We have wonderful, wonderful conversations every time he's on the podcast. But also, I hang out with Will on a regular basis. He's part of our men's group here in Salt Lake City. And he's just a kick-ass guy. We have great conversations about all sorts of different stuff. I really, really liked this episode because we hit on some things that him and I had never really talked about before, but they were also realizations for me and stuff that I had never necessarily thought about in certain ways. So it was real eye-opening. It's very entertaining, super entertaining. You're going to love it. But yeah, sit back and relax and enjoy because you are about to listen to, if this is your first episode of the podcast, you're in for a treat. If this is the last episode of the podcast you'll ever listen to, maybe you're going to die. I don't know. You never know. Maybe, who knows? But listen to it, enjoy it, like it, share it. Some really, really good thought-provoking stuff inside this episode. So sit back and relax, folks. Here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
So what I was going to say is I'll go because it's been 2 months since I've released a new episode.
And, it's a long time for
it
you.
It is a long time. It sucks. And I've had periods of like that, you know, since I've done the podcast where it'll go a long time, months and months at a time. I think last year I was even like at 3 or 4 months long before I had a new episode out. And I always get nervous when I go back and do it. And it's like, oh shit, you know, all the nerves. And then as soon as I start doing everything again.
Right back into it.
Yeah. And yeah. I think, well, am I going to remember how to work the equipment? Am I going to remember how to do this? And then am I going to remember how to edit it?
Okay.
You know, all the stuff that you have to do after you record.
And which people don't realize is no. A ton of work.
there's a little bit of work.
Yeah. Just a wee bit.
Yeah.
You don't just flip a switch and then post an episode.
But it always, you could just flip a switch, but it would sound like shit.
Yeah.
But when, especially when I go back and edit them, it's like, oh my God, I could do this in my sleep.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have to remember what I'm doing.
you know, so it's nice. It's a positive thing. I wish I didn't have 2 months in between episodes.
It's really up to you then.
It is.
Because I know for a while you were like, okay, I'm going to, you know, I want to travel and find some more interesting guests and things like that. Not that your past guests weren't interesting, yeah. But you want to develop that. And then you just took a break. So now you're back, I hope, of just...
Yes.
Screw it, I'm just going to record.
I've got a handful of people in mind that I want to talk to. Some episodes.
That was me making noise?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And then, undoubtedly, when I just decide that I'm going to start recording, then I find people.
Yeah.
Find people that I want to talk to and interesting shit that I want to talk about.
Well, this is round two for me.
Yeah. Hence Will's back on the podcast.
You were my first podcast, being a guest on, mm-hmm. and then my first solo, which was just eye-opening for me.
Cause it was a long time ago too.
Yeah. It was, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About a year ago.
Yeah.
So, and I got a bunch of feedback from a lot of people of like, don't ever talk again. Like we just don't ever want to hear your voice. It's like nails on a chalkboard. So
yeah.
Good luck to your ears. Feel bad for your listeners.
No, I always enjoy chatting with you. I always like the episodes that we've done.
We have a tendency to go deep and I like that. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for it. So
there's one thing that we're going to start off with, and it's something that I did.
Are you going to make me meditate?
I'm not going to make you meditate.
Okay.
But we did it yesterday when I recorded with Steph, and that episode will be out by the time you hear this one, then people will have heard that one. But there's a new thing that I'm going to do on every single fucking episode.
Okay.
It's a whole new thing that I'm going to implement regardless of who I'm talking to or what we're talking about or what the guest is, or I don't give a shit. I'm going to use this space, this vehicle, this platform, the podcast, to talk about this one specific fucking thing that I'm so passionate about.
Okay.
And I could go into it. I probably should give you a little bit of...
That might help.
That might help, yeah, a little
just
bit.
Just a wee bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the idea that, because I hate, like, I guess literally, like, I fucking hate the stigma attached and surrounding mental health.
Oh, okay.
I hate the way that it's perceived. I hate the way that it's portrayed. I hate the way that people feel shame and hide it and don't discuss it and don't deal with it and avoid it. I hate everything about it. Because I'm of the belief that everybody suffers in one way, shape, or form from some varying degree of mental illness.
Oh, I agree. 100% I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is what we talked about, Steph and I, yesterday. Yeah, because I hate the phrase and the term mental illness. Instead, it's like your mental balance.
Okay.
And at some point in your life, regardless of who you are, what you've experienced, and what you've gone through, you have had some varying degree of struggle when it comes to your mental well-being and balance.
Yeah.
And so...
Are you meaning me in general?
Everybody.
Just everybody.
Everybody. Okay. And so the question that I'm going to start asking everybody on every fucking episode of the podcast from this point on is, what form of mental illness do you suffer from?
Ooh.
It's kind of a shitty fucking question.
No, it's... Wow. Way to lead us in there, huh? Yeah. I have been functioning with depression for a very long time. That led, I think, my ignorance in trying to figure out what was wrong with me, because I knew something was wrong with me, yet I was polarized to reach out for help or tell anybody about it or anything else. And a lot of that came from, I didn't want to appear weak. I didn't want to appear less than or any of those. So that led into massive anxiety. And I got to a point to where my anxiety hit to where I would almost black out. I'd get super sweaty and super shaky. And then the moment that would balance out, I go right back into a tailspin of depression. And so I saw a couple therapists, and that was pretty powerful. But it took me almost 2 years to even get into one therapy session. And the moment I was in there, it blew me away. And it was more of like, why the hell did I not do this before? And it really led me to believe that, I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm bipolar or I have a chemical imbalance or anything like that, but I definitely suffer from depression, anxiety, and it reigns pretty true. And I don't know if that's systemic. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, you have people talk all the time that, you know, there's imprints on your DNA and you're passed down from mom and dad and what have you. And I know at times, I don't know much about my birth mother. I know at times she suffered with depression. And so all I knew was, you know, stories and things like that. And she had some manic episodes, at least towards the end of my parents' relationship. And so that always kind of stuck with me. My dad suffered from what I would diagnose is a manic depression. And he just, the up and downs were incredible. And there were times I even wondered if he was a bit bipolar. And, you know, nothing, again, there's a stigma. You say that and suddenly it has a negative connotation. But I watched him struggle with the ups and downs quite a bit. And that left a big imprint. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say it was DNA. But for me, it was definitely, I emulated that process pretty well. And so today, as we speak, I'm, you know, I find ways to function through it. Meditation helps quite a bit. Long walks help quite a bit. But yeah, to answer your question, I think as far as like a mental illness, depression's pretty strong.
So I think depression and anxiety are the two that people feel most comfortable talking about.
Yeah.
Those seem like probably the most safest, where people are like, yeah, I suffer from some depression. And sometimes it goes more chronic and more debilitating, and other times it's milder and it will lead to some anxiety and things like that. I think those are safe mental imbalances that people are safe and comfortable and feel okay talking about.
Okay.
But you got to go a little bit deeper, Will.
You always pushing, huh?
Because, yeah, I mean, everybody in some way, shape, or form will say, yeah, I got some depression from time to time.
Going deeper, there are times I get agoraphobic. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time leaving the house on occasion. When my anxiety is high, I end up doing things that might be a bit OCD. I'll change my clothes quite a bit. I'll distract myself before I get to the door. Let me check this. I'll check the TV if it's on 3 or 4 times. And so I bet there's things there that haven't been diagnosed that are rooted.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but once again, it's like all shades of the same color, right?
Yeah.
Like you could take agoraphobia.
There you go.
And that's like an extreme version of anxiety. That's, yeah, just like anxiety kicked up a couple of notches.
Yeah.
So it's the same shade in a sense. And OCD, the same thing, right? A coping mechanism in order to, for the inability or the lack of skill set to deal with the anxiety or the yeah, agoraphobia. Oh, I can't say that fucking word.
Agoraphobia.
Yeah.
There you go. Do I get a prize or something?
But it's totally normal.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is everybody's got something.
Well, and as I've gotten older, I realize too how normal it is. Because I guess as you just get older, you start to just accept more, and you start to lose the I don't care about a stigma, or I really don't care what people think. And this is me. This is the body I have. As you like to say, this is my meat sack.
I know. I used that line yesterday, yeah, too. And I'm like, I should probably come up with something, yeah, else.
No, I think it's a pretty good description. Generally, that's kind of how it feels.
It made me think of my balls. And I'm like, it's not good.
No. And
just a sack of meat that hangs down. Yeah.
I don't appreciate the visual. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
So, yeah, I got to come up with something else.
Yeah. No, but meat sack works in this moment. But I, you know, as like work career and things like that, and then just doing the things that I have been working on the past couple of years, I got involved with a bunch of people that suffered with, and I say suffer because I think it's a suffering, especially if you look at it like a stigma. You know, if you're in a relationship where your partner doesn't understand, or I guess isn't willing to do the research, or isn't willing to vest a little bit more, you do end up suffering. If you're in a work environment where you're surrounded with people that are just, I wouldn't say not on the same level, but not as engaged in an understanding, you end up suffering. Mm-hmm. And so through going through a lot of these situations and then speaking more, and then, you know, on the last podcast I was on, not yours, but the one I was working on for a while, our first quite a few episodes really centered around trying to take the stigma away of mental illness. And for me, that was phenomenal because you jump into it and it's super comfortable. Like, look, we're just chilling and talking, and that's what we were doing. And then you get the feedback and the emails come in and things like that. And then you have people reach out and they're like, oh my God, I'm so happy you said that. It might've been whiskey induced, but I'm super happy you said that because this is how I'm feeling. And you're pretty spot on.
Yeah.
And then that, not only does that stigma go away, but you start to associate yourself as just being normal, you know, and define normal. But for me, it was just like, okay, I'm just, you know, I'm going to deal with it. So, and that's not to say that I couldn't use therapy. That's not to say that I couldn't use a good, you know, sitting and talking session. because that's super healthy. You know, I look at what we do with the men's group, and I think if I didn't have that every Monday, I would probably need, you know, something else to balance throughout the week to just mm-hmm. kind of help me. You know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle piece, you know. Monday, you get a little freaked out, and Friday, you're just like, I don't know how the hell I made those edges, but I did, and I'm thankful for it. And then you just start the cycle all over again. So
yeah,
men's group is pretty powerful for me just because, again, you know, I'm in an environment where people understand, people have patience to understand. And then for us, it's really important to actively listen. And so I realize I pull so much from listening. Because, you know, you get empathetic. And then instead of like, I'm going to cram my advice down your fucking throat, you're just more like, no, I'm going to take your situation and I'm just going to listen. And then you have the ability to feel. And then I think it's inside that space, inside that feeling where I start to grow and I start to feel more normal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long answer to answer your question of yes. Yes, we all have.
Yeah, everybody's got something in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And it's got to be normalized. Like,
yeah,
it has to be discussed. It has to be
brought
out. I don't
know why it's not.
Because people are fucking stupid. This is why I think it's not. And because if you think about the things that society struggles with and face, right?
Okay.
Eventually they come out. Eventually they come to the surface and they kind of rise to the top and we get a chance to kind of heal through that process. So there's some things like racism, for example. This is something else that I talked with Steph about the other day. Was like racism has been like a rampant epidemic in society for a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
And it's on the, you know, whether we want to think of it on the brink of now coming to the surface and getting a chance to kind of heal and change, or it's been doing that, you know, over the course of the past 200 years or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But what it is generationally, it is fading. And so eventually kids are going to be born and it's not going to be something that they deal with. It's not going to be something that they're taught. It's not going to be something that's displayed for them. It's not going to be something that they see because generationally it will fade over time.
You would hope so.
Yeah.
You would really hope so.
I think you have examples of it, right?
Yeah.
Like if you think about, so all of my kids are, you know, maybe two, when you think of generations, I'm not talking about just, I mean, there's an easy way to think about it and just your parents, your grandparents,
their like parent. A lineage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm talking more like in a societal sense where, you know, I was coming of age in the late 90s and, you know, that's when I was in high school. That's when I was becoming a teenager. That was classified or labeled or whatever is like Gen X, right? Generation X.
Yeah.
And all of those silly labels that they apply to those periods of time, I think are silly, but that's what I'm talking about is like societally, there's multiple generations that take course over your lifetime. And my kids are like maybe two or three generations past where I was.
Okay.
And for them, they look at racism and like balk at it in the sense of like, what the fuck is wrong with you idiots?
They just don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
they see it so clearly for what it is.
Yeah.
Same thing like the word faggot.
Yeah.
Or retarded. Or something like that, where it was very commonplace growing up for me.
It was really commonplace.
Right? Wasn't a big deal at all to call somebody a faggot.
Yeah.
That didn't mean that they were in some way, shape, or form homosexual.
Or to say something like this is retarded.
Yeah.
And now you hear it and it's like a cringe factor.
Yes. And, you know, my kids hear that nowadays and they get immediately disgusted and, you know, they're upset at people that say it. They get mad at me when I say it, even in a joking manner.
Yeah.
So that type of stuff is generational.
Okay, excuse I see where you're going.
And it'll fade over time. And eventually, the word retard or faggot or racism is a big hole, even though that's a bigger one, it'll just fade and it won't be present anymore.
I can see that. I look at my daughter and she's 19. And a lot of what I credit that to, what you're bringing up, the way that I look at it is we are so overly connected. And this is one of the spots where I think that's a huge plus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at like we just talked about in the 90s, those phrases were really common. We weren't as connected as we are. And so you were able to really stay inside of your box, inside of your circle.
Yeah.
You know, you had your high school friends and your college friends, you met your wife or what have you. And then that was it. That was really your circle. And so any of those opinions, those ingrained opinions you had, they didn't really have there wasn't really a balance to counteract that. So you just kind of ran with, well, this is who I am. And that's how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. I think when I look at my daughter, Everything that she does and everything she says, it seems to go out on like a social media or some sort of a platform where it's public. Mm-hmm. So I think she's hypersensitive. And I don't think we're being too PC. I hear it all the time now, and it drives me crazy. Because what's the whole point of being PC? You know what I mean? You don't want to take anybody's shortcomings, or you don't want to take anybody's race or religion or sex or anything else and hold that against them. Mm-hmm. What the hell is wrong with being politically correct? I mean, I look at you and I right now, we're not throwing stones and bashing each other. I look at somebody in a corporate situation, I don't understand why you wouldn't be upfront and upmost and try to be your best self. And so those that tote that, you know, we're overly PC or we're overly this, I think they're just looking for an excuse to go back to how it used to be. Well, I'm more than happy for those people to go crawl underneath a rock and stay there if that's what they want. But I definitely agree with your point to where I think it's really phasing out. Because I couldn't see her using the word retard. I couldn't see her doing it. I could see her being offended greatly. Mm-hmm. So I think kids these days, and I just totally dated myself. Kids these days, dag nabbit. I think that they are they're hyperly aware of everyone around them and their surroundings.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if we tied that back into mental illness, that's a derivative of a lot of other things, because you're looking more outside than you're looking inside of yourself. But I think as far as like getting rid of or bridging the gap to quell racism, I'm proud of what kids are doing these days.
Yeah. And I mean, like, mental illness has been around far longer.
Yeah.
Right. People have suffered from a form of mental imbalance for ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Since the dawn of man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since the dawn of man. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
And over the course of time, in some way, shape, or form, we've stigmatized it and we've made it something that, do you know what I mean? It's people are crazy. Right. And the people that are crazy get put away somewhere where all the crazy people go because we can't deal with the crazy people. Well,
thank God we do a better job of handling it now.
We really don't.
Than we used to, though.
Well, that's true.
Because then it was just like, we're going to put you in a building and you're just going to stay there for the rest of your life.
For the most part, that's kind of what we do still. Well, so,
okay.
If you're mentally ill,
I can see that.
You are to the point where you can't really care for yourself in the sense of taking care of yourself or maintaining somewhat of a structured life.
Yeah.
Eventually, unless you have a really good support system in place, eventually you're probably going to end up homeless.
Yeah.
And at that point, the next step is going to end up in jail. And then after jail, you're going to go to a mental hospital or a state hospital, and you're going to spend the rest of your life going back and forth from those type of environments, from homeless to a correctional facility to a state hospital.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to die, or you're going to take your life. And that's really all that's in place at this point in time to deal with people that suffer.
That really is our system now.
Yeah.
It's either put them in jail or put them away.
Mm-hmm. Because I've seen it.
Like, yeah.
It's, you know, it's apparent. Yeah,
you experience that firsthand quite a bit.
And there's no other really, really good option out there, at least that I'm aware of, right? Granted, there's probably small batches of communities and civilizations and societies across the world that are doing much better.
Yeah.
But the fact is, man, we suck at it. And that stigma attached to, like, that person that is incredibly schizophrenic, right? That they're hearing things and they're seeing things and they can't cope and manage and stuff. Like, that person is just really on the far end of the extreme on that spectrum that we all fall on. And there's ways to reach them. There's ways to help them. There's ways to, do you know what I mean? In a sense, kind of bring them back in balance.
Well, we're not throwing lifelines, though, because there's a problem.
Yeah.
I think the new box is just handing pills.
Mm-hmm. And they work sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. And you know, I was on medication at a point. And for me, I use the medication as a tool. And I'd say it helped to a degree. I think a lot of where my head was, it felt like a placebo. And to each their own on that one, and nothing against. I mean, you know, and if your doctor prescribes and it's working for you, then I want you to stay on it. You know, and I'm proud of you for taking that step. But I think in that area, that's becoming more common, and that's okay and more accepted to be like, oh, I'm on Prozac or mm-hmm. I'm on Wellbutrin or, you know, whatever drug out there, whatever you were prescribed for, whatever imbalance. But the thought of still getting help seems to have that huge stigma.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, we act so civilized, you know, we pay thousands of dollars for a pair of shoes, but we can't help our neighbor when they're mm-hmm. having one of those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It is It's kind of disheartening.
Yeah. So that's my goal. Like, fucking talk about it.
Okay.
Normalize it. Bring it out. So then that way people in the far reaches of the planet that listen to the Energy is Love podcast hear somebody else talking about the anxiety or the depression or the PTSD or the, do you know what I mean? I've gone through bouts of my life where I've been bipolar. Bipolar is classified in a wide range of things and there's varying degrees of it.
Many.
Yeah. And at one point I thought I was cyclothymic. I was kind of diagnosed with that from the counselor that I was seeing at the time. And I looked into it and I'm like, yeah, I really kind of align with that in a sense. Like that rings true to what I experience and go through.
Okay.
So I kind of wore that around for a while, for several years, where I thought, well, maybe that's really the answer to what the fuck's wrong with me and why I fucking do the things that I do. And I'm so out of balance at times, you know, I'm just cyclothymic. I'm a little bipolar at times. And I did that for a while. And then I feel like I changed. I feel like I evolved. I feel like I, grew out of that in a sense. And I think that that's normal. I think that that's the reality, right? We don't have to wear the label of this mental illness for the rest of our life.
Well, I completely agree.
Yeah.
And that's why I stopped my medication. Now, of course, it was, you know, it was going through my doctor and letting him know this is what I'm cutting back on and everything else. But, you know, that's the beauty of the mind. It's the beauty of the brain, right? I mean, it's like we're built and we're designed to fix ourselves. And so we're constantly working to improve an ailment. You know what I mean? If you get a cut, it clots and then you've got a scab. And I would hope to think that the mind works the same way.
I'm sure it does in some form or fashion.
Yeah, in some form. And of course, there's going to be extreme circumstances where people have to be medicated.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no going back from this situation. And so this is what they learn to deal with and they live with in their entire life. But as far as the stigma, you know, just because I said I do things and I have things that might have a tendency to be OCD or I suffer from depression or anxiety, it's not going to make me, I mean, we're having this great conversation. Does that change the way that you look at me? Does it change the way that you're going to talk to me? And that's where I want the stigma to go away, because we're not talking about people's character. We're talking about how they originated. This is who they are in general. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to be a real jackass to be completely honest to judge somebody because of that.
Yeah, one singular thing. It doesn't make up the whole, right?
Yeah, the thousands and thousands of other things that these people do, or I do,
mm-hmm.
and yet you're going to hold a stigma for it.
Yeah, like sometimes we're okay with labeling not just ourselves, but other people as, like some labels we're okay with wearing.
Yeah.
But the one of mental health, I don't think anybody's comfortable wearing. And that seems so silly when everybody fucking has it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's surprising too. I mean,
do you know anybody in your life that doesn't have some form or fashion or varying degree of mental imbalance?
No. I mean, if I take a quick glance of those in my circle, no, I think to a degree, everyone's suffering from some sort of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, the word suffering is powerful. When I think of suffering, it just, you know, it's like, it makes me want my grandma and a bowl of soup and some comfort, you know,
yeah.
Come on, grandma, make me some soup. But yeah, I think everyone, I can look at everyone and be like, okay, there's a certain form of something that's going on, you know, and then I just get impressed. It's not easy dealing with it. And then I think it's noble. I think it's noble to identify, to try to fix yourself. You know what I mean? Like if you're overweight, people want you to diet. And so it's like, it's a big deal to get on a diet or start an exercise plan. Or if you don't like your job, you know what I mean? You go to like a resume coach or a life coach or something like that. And you're trying to change something in your life that's completely acceptable. But the moment you have an ailment inside your head or you have something that's going on that you just can't really understand, it's weird to go get help. I mean, why do we have therapists then? Why do we have social workers? Why do we have these people that are there? That's their profession. To help human beings, to help a being. So I don't know, that this whole conversation just amazes me because it really, it's gut check for me because it just makes me analyze like what I'm going through, what I do on a daily basis. And I'm quirky and weird as shit. And I'm starting to embrace those things. So, and the moment I feel like, you know, there might be a point where I need help with it, I'll go back to a doctor. I'll let him know where I'm at, what I'm doing. And then we'll see if we approach it, you know what I mean, with medication in the future.
Yeah.
But right now I'm happy I worked through that and I'm medication free. So
I think that the whole concept and idea of help too, right? Reaching out and getting help.
Yeah.
We are so disconnected from that And I think at some point in history and in time, in our evolution, that is exactly how we coexisted day in and day out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Where do we get the adage of it takes a village?
Yeah. Like the tribal sense of the person.
Because you need a village. Yeah,
who fell asleep in the dirt next to you is going to wake up and help you tomorrow with whatever it is that you're going to be going through.
Yeah.
And we just don't have that anymore.
No, no. And it's such an ego thing.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of those people in my circle too, that, that they don't want any help.
Mm-hmm.
But yet secretly, if you really analyze and you pay attention to what they're saying, they're crying for it. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely crying for it.
Well, that's another thing everybody just needs.
Yeah.
There's quite literally no way to move through this existence as humans without help.
Yeah. Look at our men's group.
Yeah.
It's a perfect example. I don't know how many times I've gone in there with, you know, some self-built wall. And there's been moments where even you have been like, I think, like you just said, we can go a little bit deeper here. Let's go ahead and analyze this. Mm-hmm. And then you stop for a second and you realize, okay, I'm in an environment of healing. I have no shame in allowing that. But on the other side, you know, I'm willing to share inside of a group, but I had a good friend of mine last night offer to give me dinner. And it was like, it took me almost an hour to say yes. And it was like pulling teeth and it was just like, dude, shut up. It's food.
Yeah.
Why is this a big deal?
Yeah.
It's ego. Complete ego.
The last 2 days I've had, you know, I had meals with some friends, right? And I try to get the check and they bought the meal.
Yeah.
And I fight it for all of about 5 seconds and then I let go.
Okay.
Because I think of how good it makes me feel when I get to buy you lunch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give them that feeling. I'm going to let them walk away feeling that. I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm not going to feel obligated. I'm not going to feel bad. Dude, he just felt good. He wanted to buy me lunch.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give him that feeling.
See, it sounds great right now. Uh-huh. And then you're in it. And in that situation, even the small thing, just mm-hmm. like food, becomes a big deal.
When we were talking about help, because like helping each other, right? And people are so resistant to it. And the concept that we can't get through life without help, and people have such a resistance and they wear it like a badge of honor where they don't need help to do stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if we really broke it down, because it made me think, like, if you really break it down, the fact is, like, you can't literally exist without help. So, no, like, in today's world, like, I'm going to get in my car after we're done recording and I'm going to drive on some fucking roads.
Somebody built.
Yeah. Somebody built my car. Somebody built those roads. I got to stop and get gas. Somebody built that gas station and brought the gas there.
Yeah.
Like in the big grand scheme of things.
You're going to have food tonight. Somebody harvested.
We are still helping each other.
Yeah.
We just don't realize it or look at it that way anymore. Right. And that's so silly.
It's this weird measure of success. Like we have to accomplish something on our own by ourselves. And that's what's going to liberate us against. I don't know. I haven't figured out what that is. I don't know what I'm trying to liberate myself, you know, away from. But I agree. There's so many times in my life I would not be the person I am today if it wasn't for help. Just good old-fashioned help. And that comes in so many forms. Maybe help moving. Maybe help of just a phone call. You know what I mean? That hey, can we talk for a while? And how far that goes. All the way to, I mean, you name it. Help with covering bills. And there's just so many ways and so many areas I've been helped. But it's really, and I consider myself a pretty open person, but it still is, there's still something inside of me that's just like, damn it, I need to do this myself.
Well, let's think about it. And because now it's really making me think. We both got a cup of water before we sat down and recorded.
Yeah.
And so we went and turned on the faucet and filled up some glasses. There's somebody in this fucking area.
Yeah.
That is responsible for us being able to drink that water.
And making sure it's clean.
Right. And it's not even one person. It's multiple people that worked together in some form or fashion to make that happen.
Yeah.
To sustain my existence with water.
It's such right? a simple thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck. Like, people help us every single day.
Yeah.
We need to get over the fact that I'm not going to let anybody help me. Bullshit. Yeah. Like, you're living in a house somebody else built. Well, I built my house myself. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Did you cut down every fucking tree?
Did you make those nails?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That hammer that you're using, did you manufacture and create that hammer yourself?
Well, I forged my own steel. I don't know if you know that yet, but I was going to get that into the next episode.
I'm a blacksmith.
Yeah, I do this way. I got guns.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing that we can change that concept and that idea, right? In your mind, because I hadn't thought about it that way. You know, I think about, I like letting people help me because I get such reward out of helping people.
Yeah.
So I understand that dynamic and I like to give people that feeling so that they walk away with that feeling as well, because I like how much that makes me feel. But man, I haven't really ever broken it down in my head that much where it's like literally everything that I, you know, I'm able to do in life right now is because of other people.
Yeah. Well, we don't, I mean, it's great that we're having this conversation because I don't know many people that actually slow down and think about that. Because to find help, because I know a lot of people and people I love dearly that are jaded when you bring up help and instantly it's like this really, really bad memory.
Yeah.
And you wonder, you know, sometimes they could have done something like I helped that person in the past and it burnt me. Mm-hmm. So were you helping them for them or were you helping them for you? You know what I mean? Or did you get burnt because they didn't react the way that you needed them to react or whatever else was your... Did you begrudgingly help somebody or something like that? And so, you know, how much of this is based on past experience? And then going forward, how much are you willing to let go of just to be in the moment and in the now? Because we all need help. You know what I mean? You knew I needed a chat. You knew I missed recording. You needed a guest and you needed to get some more episodes out there to spur you. And here we are. This helps me greatly because it gets me talking again, which is something I love, minus the nails on the chalkboard voice, but you know, we can't all be perfect.
Yeah. But like the coffee that I'm drinking.
Yeah.
The cup that I'm using, fucking microphones we're talking into.
You're going big. Yeah.
That's the reality. Like I just, it's hitting me so hard because I think about like the analogy I used, like you're going to fall asleep in the dirt and you're going to wake up the next morning and the person next to you in the dirt that fell asleep next to you is going to help you throughout the day, right?
Yeah.
And somehow we've distanced ourselves from that. And I correct that. I don't think we have. I think we're doing that on such a massive scale now. We just don't realize it.
Yeah.
And that's really silly.
That's a good way to put it too. I don't think we give it any credo.
No.
Well, maybe that's a good way to look at this episode then. It's a good reaching out point for people just to be observant. Really, if anything, it sounds like you're asking people or you're paying attention to yourself to be grateful. Because I think that stems just from being grateful for what you have and what's around you.
Yeah. Think of the hundreds of thousands, if not possibly millions of people that over the course of your lifetime have in some way, shape or form helped you.
Yeah.
Right.
Even far reaching help.
Yeah.
Help from people that were friends, like friends of friends.
Yeah. Or the fucking steel that was manufactured to build my car that was manufactured in fucking China.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody I'll never fucking meet.
That inhaler I use for asthma. Thank God they invented and then designed and patented it's and putting huge. It out.
Yeah. So many people. We're all connected.
Well, that makes me realize, I mean, if we get to the skin of things, it makes me realize just how stripped down and small I really am and not in a negative way.
So then we have to flip it.
Yeah.
And how many people have you helped? Because that's the other thing, ooh, right? You're contributing to this thing called fucking life and human existence.
Yeah.
So I
guarantee I could do a whole lot more than I do.
But I guarantee you've done a whole lot more than you could imagine.
Yeah. I would like to think so. I mean, wouldn't one person like to think so?
You definitely have.
Yeah. I don't know if I feel that. And I think that's more being selfish for me. You know, if I take away the ego, I would like to think I could do more. I know I could do more. I try to help, you know what I mean? In my neighborhoods and things like that, I love to be the guy that's, you know, if you're still in bed and I'm shoveling, I'm going to get your walkway. And those, you know, those, it feels like a civic duty to be completely honest. But again, help comes in so many ways. I'm more than willing to share my shoulders. I'm more than willing to help any way I possibly can as far as like just being there for a human being. But I know like that response and that question, it just makes me believe that I know I could do a lot more.
Well, think about, because you spent time back in the day in the restaurant business as a server and things like that. Think about how many times you fed people.
Yeah.
Right. How many times you brought people food.
See, that's tricky though, because I mean, obviously there's an end game for it. And I definitely put on a show, like, you know what I mean? When you ended up with me, it wasn't just like, here's your damn food.
Yes. But of course there's a give and take.
Yeah.
Right. There's a cyclical aspect to it. Somebody that built my car didn't do it solely just to build me a fucking car.
Craig's going to own this vehicle.
Right.
We're going to put extra love into this.
They're getting paid.
Yeah.
That's the aspect of it. But you fed people.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, somebody else could have brought them their food. You're right. But they didn't.
But they didn't.
You did.
It's a damn good way to look at it, to be completely honest. In that moment in time,
you were feeling that part of the big picture.
Yeah.
So you were helping people by bringing them food.
I don't know if I've ever looked at it that way. I mean, they call it the service industry. Mm-hmm. So you're already really labeled that way. But I never looked at it like I was helping.
Well, I was trying to go back in my head and I think about the first job that I had. And it was like at a juice place, like a Jamba Juice, right? You know, okay. Smoothies and stuff like that. And so I just made fucking people juice it, you know, smoothies.
Yeah.
And we think of that as such an insignificant thing. And on one end of the spectrum, it is, right? If we really hold it up in the light to the big picture and the way that the universe spins, it's pretty fucking small. But at the same time, I did that for those people that I interacted with at that moment. And in that time, I made them food and gave it to them.
See, when you put it that way, it makes me think a little bit deeper then, because I always try to engage into a conversation. Mm-hmm. So even if I picture you handing over a juice that you just blended and someone's super excited for, I guarantee you're grinning or asking them how their day is or something. So I think that would be the way, I guess, I could see that I was helping. Because it wasn't just the food for me. It was also engaging in people or engaging with people. And I always loved to be that person that could turn it around. You know, noticing that they were having a bad day or that they were having a conversation they weren't really into. And I loved being the one that broke up that monotony. So, yeah. I guess, help came from being me, that's a pretty damn good way to look at it, to be honest.
I feel like we might have just made my day. Yeah, we should be smoking something right now so that we can sit here and get, oh my God, I've helped so many people.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Because it's a big concept, right? It's a big idea.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it that way,
I mean, kind of break it down over your lifetime and all the different ways and shapes and forms that in some sense you've helped somebody.
Yeah. The way that you break down the water. Mm-hmm. That's a damn good way to look at it. That guy takes pride in his job.
Yeah,
and if he's the happy one guy to get that you some water.
Tested the fucking water, didn't do his job, didn't help me get clean, fresh water, I'd be fucked.
Yeah, super sick.
Right. Potentially dead.
Yeah.
So he's got a big role to play. Or the team of people that test the water, or the guy that put the fucking pipes in.
What's a great way to look at it, too? And hopefully more people can adopt that attitude, because then it makes it sound like any job you take. I don't care if you're flipping burgers or you're cleaning up garbage.
Well, every job is, in some sense or form, a service, right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you think of anything?
Well, I know. I've worked for some employers that are pretty sure you're just there for them.
But everything is designed to provide something.
Yeah.
Right? There's not a job out there that I can think of. I mean, I could probably sit and think for a minute, but it's not a job at that point. It's a passion, right?
Because
a job means you're going to get paid. You're going to get something in return, and therefore you're going to provide something.
See, my head went to volunteering. And so when you ask, like, you know what I mean, about helping people, I was just like, damn, I could do more. And volunteering would be a big key, because then you're strictly doing it for the service. I mean, what you're getting out of it, of course, you're a bit self-serving because you love the feeling of helping somebody. But I think that would be a true way of just absolutely helping.
Yeah. I think we have to... I think that's part of the problem, is we minimize what we really do.
Yeah.
And we minimize what we, you know, the fact is we still are all connected in this ginormous not orgasmic organism.
I'm like, wait a minute, what part of that earth did I miss out on?
This big organism that's kind of a breathing, you know, seething thing across the world that we all exchange and entertain and work together in. And we all play a part in that.
But you always find a way to bring it back to energy, don't you? You really, you're a hippie.
It just makes sense.
You are such a hippie.
Energy is love.
This is true.
One of the things I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
Because some of this stuff that you and I have conversed about, obviously, you know, not on a podcast or something like that.
Yeah.
You always want to get a better sense of deeper spiritual things.
And,
being more connected into the space of the big cosmic spin of energy, and you want to know what that is, and you want to have a better connection, and you want to deepen your own connection to it.
Yeah.
And so I have a little something for you to kind of think about, analyze, and discuss. So then that way
you made
kind
a of list.
Flesh some stuff out.
You made a list for today.
It just popped into my head.
Okay. Actually. I'm impressed.
I'm just making it sound like I did prepare.
Okay.
But it literally just came to me.
I didn't mean to throw you under the bus there.
think about, and we'll talk about in the space of men's group, just because it's something common that you and I experience and you can reference it. But the fact is, that's not the only place it exists. It's fucking just everywhere. It's human nature.
Yeah.
But think about the subtle ways that you can be listening to somebody, listening to that man that's sharing and talking, and you can physically watch him and both see physical things about his demeanor and his body language and the way that things will subtly shift and change and the rise of his shoulders.
Yeah.
The drop of his head. A lot of times, I don't know if you've realized or noticed, I'm sure you have because you're fucking smart, but when we get guys out of their heart and into their head, a lot of times they're literally, their eyes will go up.
Yeah.
So they'll literally stop what they're talking about and then pause and raise their head and look up with their eyes. And that's a really good sign of like, fucker's out of his heart now and he's disconnected from his feeling.
Yeah.
And he's gone back to his brain.
He's getting to the raw of it all.
Yeah. But that's the, some of the physical attributes that take place. But then the energy of those things and the energy of the moment and the interaction and the vulnerability and the emotion that's coming through comes through in very, very subtle ways.
Yeah, you really have to, in those moments, I remind myself that I have to slow down. So even when someone else is talking and expressing, I have to remember, not so much of like, this isn't about me, just more of, I want to be aware. And I mean, I studied sociology and I'm obsessed with people. I love to watch. I love to see their quirkiness. And in men's group, it's powerful because when we hit an uncomfortable point and they've already expressed this is something that they want to work on, and you can tell, it's so easy to say that. I want to work on this, but I don't know how to get there, or I don't know if I'm willing to go there. And so you can see this internal struggle of people trying to get to that point to where either A, they're feeling emotion, or B, they're trying to get the root of something that's really been hanging over them. And what we experience, and we see this a lot, is they'll hunch over and they crawl back inside themselves. They'll be so close to where they're having almost an epiphany. And then I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what the force is. And I don't know if that just boils back to being, I would say, too into their head then. I mean, we want people to get out of their heart and get into the emotions of things and get to their head. But I've watched a lot of people in our group get back into their head. And then they start being calculated with what they say. They start being very careful with what they say. And you call me out on this quite a bit because sometimes I kind of go back into the salesman. And that's an easy out for me because at that space, I'm very comfortable. You know, I can sell you that I'm doing well. Now, that doesn't bring you any joy, and that's not going to bring you any satisfaction whatsoever. And I don't think it's going to help you realize that we could be going through the same damn thing. But as far as noticing that energy, I love watching when they break through those walls, when they realize that not only are they in a place of support, but it's almost spiritual support. Because we do a great job of expressing to people that no matter what, this is just a safe place, plain and simple. And so whatever comes to mind is what we want you to talk about. And then suddenly, and I think it comes after being aware and being involved and coming week after week, you start to build that sense of being comfortable. And then you see an awakening. And suddenly you see this beautiful being come out of this pain. And a lot of this pain was just them being super involved in their own skin. And they're just thinking about the eye. And they're not, well, it's like what we were just talking about, being grateful for how much help we receive or how much help we really give. And we experienced that on Monday. You know, we watched a wonderful gentleman who I absolutely admire go through the process of dealing and experiencing something that I don't know if he was quite aware of coming into it, but going out of it, he was able to not only forgive a bunch, but primarily forgive himself for holding on to that pain for so long. And so that's where I see the spiritual. That's where I see the energy.
Do you feel it?
Yes, incredibly.
Because you have a palpable feeling that takes place in some of these spaces, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there's times it makes me sick. Mm-hmm. There's times I witness men get angry, and I think it's healthy. I mean, I want you to embrace that anger and ride through it. There's a reason why, what's the derivative of your anger here? That's the healthy point. That's the growth point. Then I feel it. And then I feel almost as if I take on that anger. I can feel it in my stomach. I can feel it in my fingertips. And I get agitated and I want to pull that away from them. And so, yeah, it's part of what gets me going and keeps me coming back. Because it's not just talking. It's being aware. And that's, like I said earlier, that's when I have to slow down. Because I want to be available for that. I want to be in that moment where I'm feeling. Because then I want others to feel that for me. I guess the best way to put it is that's when I know it's genuine. And it's not coached, not fake. So, yeah. That's when I feel it.
So for me, that's a really clear, even though it's not necessarily tactile in the sense of that you can, you know, see it, touch it kind of thing, but you can feel all that subtle energy that takes place in those type of environments and that type of feeling. And, you know, you can think of a lot of different experiences that you've had with other people and interacting and engaging with other people where you will feel similar things or feel the same type of stuff, the same type of feeling, even though it might not be necessarily joy or happiness or something like that. I mean, the easiest, like some of the ways that I used to describe it to people is like, everybody knows when you walk into a room or if somebody that's really angry or upset walks into the room, they don't have to say anything. You can just feel it, right?
Oh yeah.
Like somebody comes home at the end of the day and they walk in the door and they haven't said anything yet.
You know it.
You know already, even before they have the opportunity to say something. It might be the way that they toss the keys on the counter even.
Yeah.
But undoubtedly you can feel it. And that's like the energy that we put off, right? That's the energy that we're all connected through. And that's why it's so easy to recognize those things, right?
Well, you're speaking of something for me that I felt since I was a little kid. And that I always had a feeling of being different. Mm-hmm. And then I was always associated with, you know, go talk to Will. He's such a good listener and he'll get you quickly. And since I was little, I always just felt those feelings. And I could feel that without people speaking. I just knew it and I felt their energy. And so for me, I wanted to be in a place where I was helping. I wanted to give that grandma soup comfort. Yeah, I feel it all the time. You know, it's why I love to make eye contact when I'm walking up and down the road. I love to pull people out from where they are and then help guide them into where they want to be. You know, there's no satisfaction for me. There's no agenda for me. It's just who I am. And I felt that since I was little. Absolutely felt that when I was little.
And so which part of like energy and seeing it and feeling it, like, which part are you confused on? Like if you've done that your whole life, because that's what it is, Will. It's just that little subtle thing.
I'll be honest with you. Here's my confusion. I have a huge habit, or I have, and this is something I'm trying to stop, of sabotaging myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it came from a fear of success. I don't know if it came from a fear of being abandoned. So I'd usually jeopardize the situation before they had a chance to leave or to do something of that, you know, something drastic, if you will. And so I'm trying to understand, and this is a daily effort for me, why I get people more than I get myself. And that's something that I find mysterious about my own head, my own makeup. And that's why all the time, you know, one of my biggest goals, and I bring this up at men's group a lot, is I really want to be self-aware. I don't know what that's like. It's not something that I've experienced being self-aware. I've had wonderful epiphanies being self-aware, but it's not something that I've done on a day-to-day basis consistently. And so that's a big focus of mine. Why am I so in tune with other people? Why am I so keen to making sure that other people are okay, but yet I'm not willing to do that to myself? You know what I mean? I'm willing to help other people with the tools that they need, but yet I'm not willing to give myself the tools. Let that be shutting the TV down and reading a book for a couple hours, or meal prepping because you know you have to eat. I'm just not, there's part of me that is not getting that step when it comes to taking care of myself. So that's probably the best way to explain that.
I think it's super normal, right?
Yeah.
I think it's easier for people to give advice than to take their own advice.
Yeah.
It's always easier to see other people's problems than really take a chance or an opportunity to look at your own.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fear. I mean, you know, here I am 40 years old. I'm definitely, I wouldn't say I'm having a midlife crisis, but I have had massive changes within the past year. And so it's always funny when they say it comes around 40. You know, I put a lot of stuff to bed. And then by putting stuff to bed, you always open up other things. It just, maybe you didn't have the time or the energy to experience them. But, you know, for me, it's, I'm in a place now where I'm starting to go back and I'm digesting even my childhood. You know, you hear so long, those things that you went through as a childhood, you carry them with, you know, with you for your life. And they have a lot of power in what you do. And I ignored that for so long. And part of me is embarrassed by that. And then now, because of that embarrassment, I'm now excited because I want to embrace my roots, regardless of what happened, regardless of good or bad or any of these positive or negative experiences. That's what got me here. And I feel like I've been running and running and running and running away, as far away mentally as I possibly could be. And it's never escaped me. It's come back and reared its head more so now these past couple of months than ever in my life. And in moments where I feel completely still, moments where I feel like I have reached a calm, then it's like the floodgates open. You know what I mean? It's like the old adage of like, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And that's exactly how it feels. And that's really the derivative of why I want to be more self-aware. Because I've never wanted to be a catalyst for somebody's bad mood.
I got to piss.
All good. I could sit and talk to myself.
You can.
Yeah. I got to tell you, Craig, I really want to do my own. I think Phil would be great. I vaped a little bit to bring some ambiance in here. Get some smoke going. As you heard, construction is back.
Did it start up again?
Sure looks like they're getting ready.
That's okay. So, I was going to ask you...
Let me finish what I was saying now.
Please do.
I am hypersensitive with how I make people feel. And to the point to where I hold back in points where I shouldn't. And that's something for me, I'm so happy to vocalize this because I don't want to be that way anymore. I'm too akeen. And it's not so much of like, I care what people think. I don't want to be a catalyst for your negativity. I'd rather be a catalyst for your positivity. So I could do a better job of being aware of the energy I bring to this space, which is something that you say quite a bit. And that's something I haven't done a good job of in the past. I have worn my emotions on the sleeve and I let people know when I'm having a shitty day. And I realize how, like, I don't want to bring anybody down. And I don't want to do that to somebody else. I don't want to take them from a high to a low just because I'm not accepting something or I've just had a crappy day. So that was all. That's all I wanted to finish.
Do you think... Because you're 40 and I'm a few years younger than I am. I'm 37.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at your childhood, is this where you thought you'd fucking be at 40? Like, how different is your life?
Well, see, now that's crazy to say that because I'm a little bit different. I didn't think I was going to live past 25.
Yeah.
I honestly had a belief I was not going to survive past 25. And the relationship I was in for many, many years, she met me just before my 25th birthday. And I checked out for months because I literally was just, I thought I was going to be like, hey, you're 25. And then you just didn't wake up the next day as if like, I don't know, like I had.
What was it about 25?
I don't know what it was. I think I tried to escape my childhood so much. I couldn't look past 25. I couldn't look past for the longest time of like, I don't know, I felt like just a white trash kid for so long and I didn't see what kind of service I could do. I didn't really feel how I would make a difference in this world and so I just existed, you know, and I floated and I followed fish for a while. I mean, I just did whatever I wanted to do for so long, which is pretty damn normal in your early 20s, late teens, but I didn't look at it as normal. I felt like I had... For the longest time, I felt like I just wasn't of this time. You know, I was raised by my grandparents off and on back with my father and things. And so I would go from a semi-abusive household to a very rigid, very structured household. And it really played, it just kind of put me in this mental gambit of like, there's always been a stigma on the future. Planning, setting up retirement funds, all of these things that even right now I'm just like, how the fuck am I going to do this? No, this is not where I saw myself, but I didn't see myself here, to be completely honest. And if it wasn't for my daughter, I don't think I would have made it past 25. I think mentally I was in a position where I was just done, just absolutely done. I didn't see, and it wasn't like feelings of suicidal or anything like that. It was just, I just didn't see myself living past 25. I don't know why that age stuck out so much, but no, I just didn't see myself going any further, getting old at all.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, wore that for a really long time.
I mean, to pick such a random, you know, 25.
Yeah.
It's just
strange. But boy, it was a big deal. I mean, I remember on my 25th birthday, there were so many things that happened that day, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And the girl that I ended up being with for 16 years, so obviously, you know what I mean? Like, I made an impression. But I remember she brought me the Coldplay had just released an album, and we were laying on my floor, and you know, it was like in my little artist haven. I had every door painted a different color, and I just, like, I was content, but I still just had a feeling laying there on my 25th birthday of like, this is probably my last hurrah. I didn't see a future. I wasn't sure how I was going to contribute. I wasn't sure how I was going to be that difference maker in people's lives. You know, I didn't really see a track record or have a track record, minus my grandparents. But there was such a difference in age that it was really hard to look at them as like, that's like, they're my role models. But it was really hard to identify through them. And so I didn't have a good track record of relationships, not being successful, but thriving. And so I just never, it didn't make sense to me. You know, college at that time didn't make sense to me. I thought a lot more about self-learning and self-experiencing and travel and being one with nature and being outside and then being surrounded with people much better than just going and taking from a textbook and learning from a professor. And so all of these things that I was supposed to fall into, I never fell into them. It was never my path. So yeah, it is weird if I look back now. I haven't talked about that in a long time, but no, I didn't see it happen, and I didn't see me past 25. So by that time, I mean, by the time I hit 25, I had technically died once. I should have been dead a couple of times just through experiences of life and miraculously survived, if you will. And a lot of that I'm going to give a tribute to a higher power, because there's moments where I shouldn't have survived, and even from the doctor. And then I experienced that later on in life. You know, at 30, I shouldn't have survived. And I think we talked about this a little bit on the last podcast.
Yeah.
Where I just shouldn't have lived. I shouldn't have been around, but I did, and I survived. And so now at 40 and time removed from these experiences, I get really hard on myself, because I'm just like, nah, you could be better. You could be more. And then on the same side, and maybe this is where I give myself actual anxiety, because define better. Like, what is my opinion of better then? And that's where I want to be self-aware, because I know the derivative of better, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's like. I don't put on better shoes every single day, and suddenly I've hit that. And so I'm still trying to identify. And there's moments I still feel like this totally immature 13-year-old kid who's just clueless out there. And that's where I'm trying to get back and identify at what point in my childhood and at what point in my young adolescence did I disengage. And I think that's what I did for a long time. I think that's where the self-sabotage comes from. I think that's where the fear of success comes from. And that's the skin I'm trying to shed.
I hope we always have that aspect, or always have that. Fuck with my mic. I hope we always have that thing where every now and then we feel like a retarded fucking 13-year-old that doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Like, I hope that I'm 70 and still feel that in some way, shape, or form.
Oh, I guarantee I will.
Right. Because that's a good, I mean, like, I think that I'm assuming we probably do. Like, I've always felt it up to this point, right? Yeah. And I've always had those moments where you feel like you are a kid and you don't know what's going on and you feel lost and you kind of, you know, you're like, I'm so lost and confused right now. I don't even feel like I'm an adult. Like, I'm not adulting right now.
Yeah.
I'm failing miserably at adulting, and I feel like I'm a kid and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I hope we always have that.
Well, see, and I've been in an environment these past couple of years now where I've been working closely with people who have had a lot of success, and they're not any happier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if it's like modern day social stigma. Like if you put me in, you know, 1993, I'm 2 years away from graduating high school. The thought of having $1 million in the bank account is so foreign. And it was so foreign from everyone around me. I mean, there's very few people where that was like a goal, right? I mean, that was, and if you fast forward to today, there is like this stigma, not a stigma, but there's this, that's become a norm. Like to have some sort of success, you need to have this large amount in your bank account, or you need to drive this certain vehicle or have this certain size house and have this great relationship. And I don't know if I experienced that kind of pressure when I was younger, but I emulate that now. And I put that pressure inside of myself. You know what I mean? Like right now, I'm not afraid to admit it. Like I'm scrambling to find work. And this is not something that's comfortable for me. This is new in the way that I'm feeling it. And this is a new situation for me. So I'm comparing myself with where I am now with other success or my view of other success. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair for myself. It's not fair for anybody to do, but I do it. I absolutely do it. And then I increase my depression and then I increase my anxiety. I guess I'm still answering your, did I see myself here? No.
Well, you're no. A different person. Like you talk about kind of, you know, comparing yourself to past successes and where you're at now and how it doesn't really, you know, align and it feels like a step back. And the fact is you're a fucking different person.
Yeah.
You're just a completely different person than you were at the time of those successes or of those moments in time when you felt, you know, successful.
Yeah.
So of course it's going to feel different, right?
Well, see, and I want to get to a point to where that feels like where I'm grateful for it. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at myself like, oh, I don't have that life anymore. And that's where, you know, I'm glad we talk a lot about being spiritual and understanding energy. Because yeah, I might not be in that position where by society standards I'm as successful as I was mentally. God, the laundry list that I could give you of growth would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I work in such a place in my mind, and that's what I'm working on to change, that I don't allow that. I'm halting that gratefulness. And that's where I want to identify where, no, I'm grateful. I'm not in that situation anymore. I grew so much from it. And now I have this larger skill set that I'm able to offer. So I don't know if it's buying into society's norms. I don't know if it's buying into my own personal pressure that I'm putting on. But I would like to get back to a point to where I'm just happy. I mean, I'm happy sitting here talking to you. Enjoying the water that someone prepared and made sure it was clean.
Thanks, water guy.
Yeah, thanks, water guy. I just want to hug him now.
No shit. Like, yeah. He gave us water.
I should probably look up water guy. Just start sending random notes, completely anonymous.
Go down to your like public works office and just give everybody hugs and be like, thank you.
Bring them a card. Yeah, a little Starbucks gift card. Yeah. So that's what they need.
You gave me water.
Yeah, thanks for doing a good job, and water
it's
guy.
It's like the building block of life. I could go well over a month without any food and be just fine.
Yeah.
I'd be miserable and in a lot of pain, but I'm pretty sure like 72 hours.
3 days without water, you're screwed.
Yeah, you're going to die.
Yeah. But such a simple thing. I mean, how often are people dehydrated? And water's right there and it's available and they're not drinking it.
Well, we're spoiled.
Yeah.
Because not everywhere has water, obviously.
I'm glad you said that.
That's right there, right?
We have a lot of first world problems that we're not identifying. That's a tricky slope, though, and that's a slippery slope because even the term first world problem, because this is all we've experienced, so how do we know any different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never been in Somalia. I'm not in Syria, and, you know, and God bless those people that are going through these really extreme circumstances. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
And so I've heard that all the time, you know, growing up. You've got first world problems. Well, define. I mean, they're still problems. They're what I associate as problems. They're not, that this is just all I've ever known.
I wish we had different problems.
Okay.
Like I hate my problems because I feel like they're so fucking asinine. And I understand that it's a mindset that I should probably, not probably, but that I do work on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily to kind of minimize it down to a first world problem, although we do have those, you know what I mean? Like, oh my, like I got a brand new cell phone, but the battery isn't lasting as long as it used to. But yeah. I really wish we had different problems. I wish that I had to worry about food
Yeah.
I wish that I had to hunt to feed my family. I wish that...
So you're going tribal.
Yeah. Like, I just so fucking wish so bad. So many times I talk to my beautiful, beautiful, amazing wife. I love you. I do love her. Like, I'm down for the apocalypse. Like, I'm so fine with the zombies coming, cut the population of the world down to 80,000 total. Like, I'm fucking ready for it.
Okay.
It's going to be miserable. It's going to be horrible. Blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Like, just to not have to worry about Wi-Fi. Like,
oh God. Yeah.
Like, my internet went out the other day. It was so funny. It was like 2 weeks ago and the internet, it's out all day long. Wake up in the morning. It's not working. We don't have internet access. Suddenly it's like, well, I got to get on the computer. And
your kids are losing their mind.
Yeah, you know, the daughter wakes up and she can't turn her phone on and check anything because she can't connect to the internet.
Yeah.
And like, well, how are we going to watch Netflix today? Like, our Apple TV is not even going to work. And obviously it's all, you know, we're not idiots and we are definitely within the scope of like, okay, obviously it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But it progressed all day long to where we'd go out and run errands. We'd come back home and I'd check, oh fuck, Wi-Fi is still not working. And finally, at some point, I get on the phone with Comcast, with the internet company, and spend like 10 minutes on the phone going through customer service rep after customer service rep.
Okay.
To basically be like, look, motherfucker, I need a $30 credit on my account.
Because this has been down.
I work from home. I need connection to the internet.
Yeah.
You're stopping me from being able to do my job. And I need a $30 credit on my account, right? And I see the frivolousness of it. I see the asinine pointlessness of it. I could fucking care less of whether or not I have internet connection, right?
Yeah.
I got a day off from having to worry about answering emails. and then the satisfaction that I got from getting that $30 credit, I'm like, that's right, motherfucker.
Yeah, like you won.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won.
Yeah. You know.
You beat the man.
This service that you provide and the way that you help me isn't good enough, and I don't like the help that you're giving me.
Yeah.
And fuck you, you took that help away. I'm sure there's actually some like legitimate Comcast guy out there digging in a hole somewhere.
Stressing his ass off. You're trying to get this fixed.
Reconnect the fucking cable to get the internet working. Yeah. It's just so funny.
Thanks, internet guy.
Yeah. So I wish we didn't have those problems, right? Well, I wish that wasn't even something I had to worry about.
Good way to bring it up.
Yeah. Structure. I want to worry about like warmth and food and shelter.
And well, at the beginning of this, we talked about mental health and how much of what we're going through, how much of the stressors that we deal with are these, and you know, I could get blasted for this, but frivolous problems. And what you're describing, a day without Wi-Fi. Did you even know what Wi-Fi was in 93?
No.
No.
It was 2003.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't know what Wi-Fi was.
I remember the first time I did a little work for my dad in the 90s. And I remember the first time he gave me a pager. And I was so pissed because it was like, I don't want you to know where I'm at, or I don't want to, you're going to contact me. So I have to contact you. It doesn't work that way. I'm still doing like the collect call. You know what I mean? You're going to collect call from come pick me up really quick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now there's times I'm like, shit, I can't even go to the bathroom without my phone, just as long as I know it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the problems I don't want anymore. No, I don't want to give a shit about money. I mean, I have to, because I have to pay to eat. I have
you choose
to pay to live. Yeah, I choose to.
We choose to a shit about all of these things.
Yeah.
Because there's literally nothing stopping us from living out in the fucking woods.
No. And you know, you and I had a good conversation about this because a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure I had a good mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, everything in my life kind of came to a head. Everything that I was doing came to a stop. And I was not mentally prepared for it. And my mind did not handle it well. And I love, you know, we met for breakfast. And I love that was kind of the way that you described it, was like, look, you're choosing to feel this way. You're choosing to make this a bigger deal. Really, who gives a shit if I lose this place? You know, I could downsize. I don't need to be in a two-bedroom apartment. I could be in a studio. You know, there's a lot of ways that I can cut it back, but I've convinced myself that this is what I need. And I've allowed it to take ownership over me instead of me being an owner over it.
I think we do it out of fear, Will.
Yeah.
Because I sit here and think about it, and it's like, there's so many times when me and Steph will talk about, like, there's this movie that came out several years ago called Captain Fantastic. It's got Viggo Mortensen in it.
Okay.
He's Aragorn from...
oh, yeah. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the movie is him and his wife raise their family out in the woods, and their kids grow up with that as their life, right?
Okay.
And they're kind of off the grid and everything like that. And we watched this movie. It's a good movie. Everybody should go see it or go rent it. And it's like, how wonderful would that be to exist that way? Like, yeah, we're both down for it. We're both like, yeah. You know, back in February, we went and spent the weekend in this yurt up in Colorado, disconnected from everything. And like, you know, had a wood burning stove.
To feel good.
Yeah. Super basic. It had necessities. It had running water. It had electricity. So it's not like we were really, really roughing it, but it was really bare bones and basic. And it's out in the middle of nowhere and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And we could exist like that peacefully.
And you weren't stressed about Wi-Fi or checking work emails.
No. And so it's like the reason why we don't do that, because there's honestly nothing stopping the two of us from doing that.
Yeah.
We could literally walk away from the life that we have right now, take our kids and go into the woods, you know, and like scrap and sell everything that we fucking own to come up with $40,000. We might get $40,000 from everything. And we're homeowners. And, come up with that little bit of money and build a fucking cabin somewhere. And there's nothing stopping us.
No.
And we talk about it in this grandiose way of how wonderful it would be, but yet we don't do it. So why do we not do that? It's fucking fear.
Yeah.
But what am I fucking afraid of?
Well, that's a $1 million question there too. Yeah. And I'm asking myself that on a daily basis.
Cause you could do it too.
Yeah. Yeah. In a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a really nice car that I know I can offload and make a good amount of money from. And I have, you know, little things that I'm surrounded by that I just don't need. As we're sitting here in my apartment, mm-hmm, and I look around all this stuff, I just don't need it. But I convinced myself for so many years that I needed it. And it was just, no, it doesn't bring me happiness. Like, I look at this TV. No, it's not bringing me happiness. It's not bringing me, this is not fulfilling my life. But for some reason, I felt like I needed it. Mm-hmm. And I needed some, like, it's some sort of creature comfort. But yeah, you're right on with fear. And I don't know if it's there. I do know there's a part of it that, like, I am worried about what people think. I am worried if I could survive. And it's really breaking a change. I mean, it's like leaving a relationship. You know what I mean? Plain and simple. There's a lot of fear there of getting away from a situation that you just know you need to get away from.
Maybe that's why we don't do it. Is it's because we actually, there's some like inner part of us, some quiet moment in our fucking soul. It's like, no, you need connection.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not to say that, you know, if I snag my wife and my kids and we go live in a fucking cabin in the woods somewhere, we're going to have connection with each other. And I'm obviously going to be fucking connected to nature.
Yeah.
But there's some part of us that may subconsciously or deep inside need the connection and interaction, or even just the energy exchange that takes place and moving through this society as it is.
Oh, I agree.
I don't know. I don't know if that feels right.
But I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. And I know I've gone across it.
Because some of it's bullshit. Like because that's the thing is, like, all we do all day long is exchange energy with one another in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And we complain about it, right? We complain about traffic. We complain about...
Constantly.
Fuckers in the line in front of us at the grocery store. We complain about, you know, anything.
Yeah.
I was complaining about fucking internet, right?
Yeah.
We complain about all of these things, and all it is it's an energy exchange between people.
Yeah.
Between energy. And so...
Well, what do you think has stopped then? What's your opinion on why that's... if we're so influenced or we're so connected and we do have this energy and it's constant, why do you think that there's much more of a barrier now? Because I feel people are more disconnected, mm-hmm, when we're overly stimulated. I mean, we're surrounded by options to make us connected. For God's sakes, that cell phone, I have all of the knowledge in the entire world in the palm of my hand. I could call anybody I can think of, but yet there's moments I don't feel connected. Mm-hmm. I feel alone. So what do you think that is? Why do you think that we don't feel as connected when we have more capabilities now to be connected more than ever?
Hold on, I had it. I had something that like went light bulb and made sense. So like there's this whole thing of like, if we break things down in a tribal sense and we have to, because that's like what humans exist in, like the most basic form, how we do the best, like in small tribal communities. They've proven it through, you know, studies and science and smart people. We do really well in those environments.
I like the way you put that, smart people.
And somehow we don't coexist like that anymore. And so in those tribal communities, however, they have this thing where you have to go off alone.
Yeah.
You have to go and embrace the fear surrounding being alone. And maybe the whole thing where we don't feel connected and we feel so disconnected is like that inner part of us that knows we need to face that fear, but yet we don't, and we don't have any construct for it in modern society. So it's our fucking innerness. I'm going to hashtag that one. It's that inner part of your soul that's like, you have to face the fear of being alone.
Yeah.
So the fact is, there's no construct in society right now where it exists to, you know, a ritual or just a rite of passage to go out and do it. So then you get to come back and feel the joy of what it's like to be with each other and appreciate what it's like to be with each other.
I like that.
And have the confidence and courage and the knowingness and the strength that you gain from going out and facing that fear of being alone. So we don't have that anymore. So some fucking higher power energy thing where the universe is like, well, we're going to make sure that you get that.
Yeah.
And
dude, so, look at me.
Yeah. We're going to push you into that space so yeah. that you feel disconnected, so that you feel alone, so that you face it, come through it, realize the importance of connection, realize the importance of everything that you do have and the way that you are connected, and that you draw strength from that.
Yeah.
That trial by fire, in a sense, that you go through.
Well, that's going to go back to the basics, right? I mean, that's the age-old question of why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not just because two people made love and then suddenly a baby was created. You know, it doesn't... that's just not the answer. We're not here just because we're here. Maybe it could be. Maybe I'm way off here. But, you know, it leads me back to the whole age 25 thing. I've always been asking that question. And now I guess I'm finally of an age. Maybe that's why I didn't see past 25. I wasn't willing to slow down and really listen. I knew what was inside. I knew what I was thinking. I knew that I maybe existed at a little higher energy wavelength, and not a better or a worse by any means, just more of a feeling deeper. And I think that scared the shit out of me. You know, I felt different. You know what I mean? Even being raised in a religion where I definitely felt different. And so there's always been that question of why? Why are we here? And now I'm finally at a point to where I'm looking for the answers and I'm allowing the answers. And you're right. A lot of it comes from this. This isn't forced, me being alone. I chose to do this. I chose to live alone. But I needed it. There was something that was just carnal inside of me that needed it. Okay. You can't rely on anyone else. You need to learn to rely on yourself entirely. You know, and if that's just bill paying and doing the 9-to-5 grinding, then that's what you need to do. But you need to learn your own. So it's, I think it's funny that it's a great way to put it, the way that you put it, because that really kind of makes me hit the fast forward button up until where I am right now, because it feels almost as if I've been led up to this point, which is exciting. And that actually takes some of the anxiety away, because I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm not here to do circus tricks for people. I'm here to make sure that I'm okay. And I wasn't aware of that for the longest time. Huh.
That might be it, huh?
I might have just shrinked myself.
Yeah.
Shrink.
We always just shrink ourselves.
Yeah.
I've read something the other day. Oh, I fucking hate reading dumb shit like this. I should stop following people on Facebook that post dumb shit like this. But like, healers don't heal anybody. They just like hold space for people to realize that they have the ability to heal themselves. It was something like that.
Mm.
And I totally agree with it. And I shouldn't minimize it and scoff at it, but that shit drives me nuts.
It's about as generic as it possibly gets.
Yeah. But it's true.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And we see that time and time again.
That's yeah. what
fucking shrinks and therapists and counselors and all that kind of shit do.
Yeah.
I mean, you can listen to them. The bad ones are going to tell you what's wrong with your life and diagnose you with something and tell you that this is what you need to do to fix yourself. And then the good ones are going to let you figure all that shit out on your own.
Help you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just help you in that space of getting to that point.
See, and that's where for the longest time I wasn't in agreement with therapy. I thought people just needed to surround themselves with those that they loved and those mm-hmm. that they cared about, because that's where you're going to push. Now I'm a believer in therapy, because just for that exact statement right there, I think it's so wonderful to get an outside opinion, someone else who's just not in your situation daily and who is trained to see through the salesman that you bring them, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, I sometimes get caught up in my own salesmanship, and I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to be genuine. That's probably why I don't do sales anymore. Just walked away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Will, I need a smoke.
Okay.
You got anything else?
No, just thanks, man. This is really right in tune with where I'm at. I was so excited to get back and start recording again. I really think I want to do my own.
They're so fun, aren't they?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I worked so hard to get that other one launched and going, and I loved it. And it brought out so much in me, and I'm so thankful for it. And now that I'm just growing and moving on to another situation, yeah, I'd love to be doing this. I'd love to bring equipment over and just talk to people.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I always tell everybody, like, if you are wanting or interested in a podcast, just fucking do a podcast. It's so easy.
Yeah.
To do. And
what's amazing how many people you can reach, mm-hmm. and the absolute influence that you can have. I think maybe that'd be the last thing I'd want to say is those people that do hear this, like, I want you to know that, plain and simple, and I know it's cheesy and it sounds like something that somebody would post on Facebook, but you're not alone. Absolutely not alone. And I'm a huge believer that if I can make this step of being an individual, attempting to be self-aware, regardless of a mental illness, regardless of a circumstance, regardless of your childhood, that you have the ability to cope and to hope inside of yourself.
Well, we're all helping each other. I think we definitely hit on that enough.
So happy you said that.
Yeah.
What a great way to look at it.
Yeah. The listener
right
now.
I'm never going to look at water the same.
The fucking shirt you're wearing. Somebody built that. Yeah. Not built that.
They made that. They might have built it.
But yeah. I love that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's
dude, a good I wear this to... bracelet. Who made this?
Yeah. I made that.
You made that.
But somebody made that shit that I made that with.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So we're all helping each other.
So it was passed down 3 or 4 times then, huh? Yeah. From helping hands.
Yeah.
I just think the labyrinth, as she's falling down, you've got all the helping hands.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to put it. I just killed life that momentum.
Lessons from
the
labyrinth.
Yeah. Like, well, it could be. You remind me of the babe.
Okay, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Everybody go have a beautiful, wonderful day. I need a different sign off. I thought about it in the beginning when I started doing the podcast, and I didn't even fucking think about, like, oh, you need a fucking sign. I could give a shit less.
Yeah.
But then over the course of time doing it, like, that just became the thing that I said. And so that's the thing that I always say now.
But you're in the mood to change things.
Well, maybe I stop saying that.
Right along the time you stop saying meat sack.
Yeah. But if I don't say that, then what would I say? Maybe I don't say anything. Maybe the podcast is over. And I stopped talking. We're going to do that. The podcast is over.
It's like we're built and we're designed to fix ourselves. Help came from being me. Go talk to Will. He's such a good listener and he'll get you quickly. I'm willing to help other people with the tools that they need, but yet I'm not willing to give myself the tools. I'm happy sitting here talking to you. Enjoying the water that someone prepared and made sure it was clean.
Thanks, water guy.
Yeah, thanks, water guy. I just want to hug him now.